हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 53. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, as supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. Footnote 25. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 14 in Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 98. This verse means, He certainly fulfills the request of the human beings who ask, Artha him. He never gives something that will lead one astray. In that sense, he is not also always Artha da, the bestower of benedictions. He only gives benedictions that, once given, the receiver does not return. That is the meaning. This means that because of feeling unfulfilled, when the happiness obtained in that benediction wanes, the person returns and asks for another benediction. Right? So if he says he will not return, means he fulfills that in such a way that they don't have more material desire. Right? It's not just that they won't bother him.
Actually fulfills it.
Yeah. So he deals in such a way so you don't feel like any interest anymore in the mundane. Yes.
And if we do feel interest in mundane, means that's not Krishna who fulfilled his desires?
No, it is, but it's just then, but at some point then it will be noted that it doesn't work anymore.
So it's not from the first time?
It's basically, it's when it's... What was that famous... I'll give you what you want until you want what I have to give.
Wow.
Totally bogus guru. Great line. Great line. It makes you what?
Has to ricochet a couple of times in the head.
Yeah, it does that. But the point is that if you want material, Krishna will give like that. So it's just a matter of how serious one is in Krishna consciousness. Right? Then as you become more, then he can give all those things, but you don't want more based on material. See, it's not a matter of fulfilling desire, it's a matter of fulfilling material desire. The idea is that he'll fulfill the desires in such a way that it will not invoke more material desire. Yes? No?
No, I'm just trying to check.
On this one or the one before from the from Guruji?
Guruji, that's the good line.
Oh, I thought you were saying Guruji.
Yeah.
Blessings.
So it seems like there's a gap between when this makes sense to the intelligence and when it makes sense to the mind.
Yes.
That will actually make someone feel worse.
No, but that difference, that's called jnana and vijnana. Because if there's not jnana, you don't know where to go, what to do. That you understand it's right, but you're doing it because that's what should be done. Vijnana means you understand and this is what you do because this is what you want to be doing. You're committed to it. It's a value. See, before it's you know that that's the right thing to do. You know it's right or wrong. But then realization means it's a value. That's what you want to do, not that's what you're supposed to do.
So then the problem is that you understand what you should be doing, but you still want to do something else, and that can create a loss of identity for the sadhaka.
No, but that's why you keep association with those who are more advanced, because then that's kept strong. Because the point is the material world's never going to make you satisfied anyway.
So now you're understanding it.
Yes.
Before we thought.
Which means it's an advancement. Yeah. But between that, then one may feel, you know, kind of stuck in between.
Yeah.
But the point is taking up the material will never make you feel any better.
No.
Right?
Sometimes you keep yourself.
What is it? Going back to which one? I never remember which it is, the red or the blue pill. That one will not make it any better.
The blue. I think that's the blue pill.
That's the blue pill. Oh, the
so.
Ignorance.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And you move forward to the passion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's a way to figure it out. Okay. You know, so that's the whole idea, is that by following the process, you've understood the uselessness, but at the same time, as one is unable to give it up at this time. But the point is taking shelter of it again will give you the same result as before, means total dissatisfaction. So that means if the devotional process could bring you forward to understanding how it's useless, then by continuing with it, it will also make it so that you are not interested. You give up the desire. Does that make sense?
Someone told me it's like joining the mafia. You can't leave because you know too much.
Yes.
So on the path from Shraddha to Prema,
yes.
Which stage is the most difficult actually? What would be there?
It means if you're looking at the overall, then it's getting to Shraddha. Because that may take you a serious amount of lifetimes. You know, from the first time you may come in contact with devotional service till you've accumulated enough piety to take up devotional service. You could say that's going to be the longest one. But because you're totally unaware, it doesn't bother you. Like that. You'd probably say anartha nivritti, because Shraddha, that's very inspiring. Associating devotees, sadhu sangha, that's very nice. Taking up the process with enthusiasm, you know, that bhajana kriya, that's very nice. And if you get to nishtha, fixed bhajana, then that's also, you know, it's steady. So then there's no problem. Taste, then definitely we're getting somewhere, attachment. So then from that you would say anishta bhajana kriya would be the most difficult. So that's anartha nivritti.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, like that. So.
Always the one people complain about.
Yes.
Why does it take so long?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, so in fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. So there has to be that determination, I'm giving this up. That's the point when, in one sense, it seems to be the most difficult, but actually it's from that point it starts to become easy. Because now you've committed to it, so it's just that initial commitment to it and that initial maya going, are you sure? You know, like that. You know, that's the but once is you're, then it goes through, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's the natural for the living entity. So that's in anartha nivritti's war with maya. So from there it picks up. Right? Because then after that, then it's just, you know, you're determined you're going to do this. I'm going to chant all my rounds, you know, before this and that. And then, you know, somebody says, hey, you want to go out and get some maha? You know, and so, you know, it just doesn't happen. So that takes a little while. Then finally that, and then like that. So you could say it's... But at the same time, devotional service, it's all nice. You know, so it's... That's the...
It's lack of devotional service that bothers us usually.
Yes. You could say it like that.
So it's actually our lack of faith while we're in the process than that lack.
Because it's faith that increases that brings it to the next level. That means you increase faith, then it goes from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha. You increase faith again, then it goes to Bhajana Kriya. So actually what's happening is just faith is increasing.
And if you have faith that you're moving in the right direction, it's not. It's less important where you actually are.
Yes. Right?
Because it just...
No, because it goes. It's just, you're there, so you're enthusiastic. You know, it's like you're going on holiday. You know, you've just started. You're trying to figure out how to pack the car. But, you know, the whole point is you're in, it's the whole thing will be nice. You know, like that, you know. Except the kids in the back. Are we there yet? You know, that part's a bit of a problem. But.
Hence iPads.
Yeah, that's why American cars for that purpose are very big. When a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Right? So this is because because by giving up material desire, then you become non-envious. Then you don't desire ill fortune for anyone. Because when your desires are being impeded, that's when you wish that the other person who is impeding them all kinds of, you know, strange and wonderful things would be happening. Like I always, you know, imagined in, you know, Calcutta, the taxi wallahs, they'd annoy you so much fighting over the money and stuff like that, just harass. So I always imagined I'd get out of the taxi, walk, you know, start walking towards, you know, into the temple. But and then just as the car then drives off, the street would just open up and they would car would fall off
that
inside and then it would close again. And then after seeing that, you turn with that little smile in your face and then walk upstairs. Yes. You know, another perfect day.
Glorious.
Yes. Like that. So when we give up that, then that's when actually all directions appear happy, right? Because this is just retribution. It's not happiness, right? So if there's no material desire, there's no misery, there's no envy, therefore then all directions appear happy.
When retribution is there for you, there's no misery, no envy, just happens.
It just happens.
Happiness.
It's momentary. But the reason comes down to it is that we're seeing those living entities as separate from Krishna. That's why then it appears to be okay. But if they're part and parcel of Krishna, then if they became God conscious, then all the problems would go away. Problems come up from lack of God consciousness. So we're not God conscious, we have problems. Others are not God conscious, they give us problems. Right? So therefore, if one becomes God conscious, then all that goes away. At least we can be God conscious.
And we'll know that the taxi wallah will get what's coming to him, regardless of
yeah.
if we see it or not.
Yeah, yeah. So, because it never happened. But one day, I was. What was that? What's the. No, Calcutta's a circus. What's it in Delhi?
Connaught Place,
yeah. So, going along and right at, I think, not Junpat, the one on the next one over. Whatever. It's, you know, the one where all the. Mohan Singh's and
yeah.
You know that one is. So right at that crossroad, they had dug this huge hole in the whole street practically. You know, big, huge thing. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they're going to do one of those underground
metro
things
something.
Or metro something really deep. You know, and as I was walking by to you know crossing the street and all that, there was a taxi down there that had driven off inside. Yeah, then I thought, okay, there it is. It only took 30 years, but it happened. Yes. Yes.
That's for all the time.
Yeah. So it's. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 15. Prabodhananda Saraswati said, Vishram Purna Sukhayate. When one becomes Krishna conscious, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the entire world appears happy. And he has nothing for which to hanker. Because anxiety only comes up when there's hankering. So hankering and lamenting, they go together. It's not hankering in happiness, hankering in joy, hankering in bliss, hankering in, you know, everlasting, you know, whatever it is, it's hankering and lamenting. Those that's the pair.
What's the difference between advertisement and real life? Advertisement, they show hankering and bliss. You just add this product.
Yes. Yes, no.
Not so much real life.
Yes, no. No, it's not. I say. On the Brahma-Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20 stage, or the platform of spiritual realization, right? So he's saying they're both the same thing. When you come to spiritual realization, Brahma-Bhuta is the same, right? There is no lamentation and no material hankering. Na sochati, na kankshati. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. As long as one lives in the material world, actions and reactions will continue. But when one is unaffected by such material actions or reactions, he is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. Right. So that's what we're trying to come to. Okay. Yes.
Mayavadis, can we say that they are also on the Brahma-Bhuta platform?
No, they're only on the platform of, I mean, in one sense, but no. They're on the platform of mukti. So they're still going to be, they still have the hankering and lamenting because they're on the platform of the jnana. They'll come up to that point where they'll temporarily step out of it, but they'll come back in. So, does that make sense?
The other day we were talking about how,
you know, it's like jumping up in the air, that's moment of weightlessness, you know, while you're just hanging there before you come back down.
So can we say technically to differentiate between Brahma Buddha and Mukti?
That's how we differentiate. But they're the same place.
Yes.
But for the devotee, it's progressive. While for the jnani, that's the end of the line before he comes back down. Like that. So you can say technically, as far as the position of perfection, it's the same. You know, so when we say perfection, liberation, Brahma-Bhuta, they're all the same.
Shantaras?
No, Shantaras means you've already, it's a relationship.
Recently we talked about how the jnanis could just touch on Shantaras.
Means they may appreciate, but it's not necessarily in devotion, just it's, you know, the greatness. And because if you're on the see, all living entities, after they come out of Mahavishnu, they're in the Mahat.
Yeah.
Before Brahma's creation, the secondary creation, they're all on the platform of Vasudeva Sattva. So they can see themselves, the soul, the Lord, the material world, they see all that. But because there's no devotion, they just see that. That's all. So only those with devotion, they will move towards the Lord, and all these others will then will come into the material world. So as soon as Brahma creates the facility, then they all take their forms.
So
for us, when we say, reaches perfection, we're talking about this platform.
Yeah.
Then we'll call that perfect because there's no material anomalies. But it doesn't mean that there's not further to go on the devotional. But there, one is unaffected by the material.
So in this context, when we're talking about the devotee on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, that would be at least Shantaras, would it?
No, that's just Bhava.
Okay.
You're situated in Bhava. Then you have five stages within that. You get the prema. So one of the stages, it's prema means you have love for the Lord. Then it's a matter of what secondary aspect is used is your preference for expressing and exchanging that love. So shanta simply means it's all within the mind and meditation. Within the mind, you know, so there's no paraphernalia, no activity, anything. It's just within the mind. They appreciate the Lord, and they that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. So, as long as one lives in the material world, actions and reactions will continue. So they won't go away, even if you come to Brahma-Bhuta. That's important to note. But the point is why do we think, oh no, I perform religion, all action reaction should go away? Because we don't want any connection with anything because we know it's all bad, or we consider now it should be all good. There shouldn't be anything bad. But it's for the effect that we will be happy. But the point is yes, you'll be happy, but the actions and reactions will be the same that's going on now. It's what's always been going on. Right? But the difference will be is it will not affect you. You'll just see happiness everywhere. That's the point. So the point's not to be in a nice situation. The point is in to be in nice consciousness. Because it's the consciousness that makes the place. Right? You know, one person's living in the slum. For them, they grew up, it's home. They're comfortable there. They know how to move around, how to do everything. So they see it in that way. So it doesn't bother them. But someone else comes into that, that's a problem.
But then the doubt may come.
Yes.
What's the problem then with the environment if it's all a matter of perception? Then the environment can be anything.
It can be anything,
but
yes.
We are affected by that anything a lot.
Because we identify with the anything.
So it means for us environment is important.
It is. What we're talking here is when we're saying that if the environment is better, I will be more God conscious. But the two don't have anything to do with each other.
It seems to be very connected.
It seems to be, but is it?
Yes.
How?
If the environment is peaceful, everything goes my way.
But how often is it peaceful?
Quite often.
Okay. And so, but with why is it sometimes not peaceful?
Other living entities get into that environment.
But that's part of this actions, reactions will continue. So why would they get into it unless it's connected with you? Otherwise they'll get into somebody else's, you know, life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
my point was that the environment influences our consciousness. And not
it does because we identify with it. What we're talking about here is we've gone beyond. We don't identify with it. Therefore, it never bothers us. So when we put the emphasis on no, it's that everything's perfect, so therefore it's peaceful, then I'll be Krishna conscious. That's all right to start with. But if we think, if we only focus on that, we will be disappointed at some point. Because the thing is even if it's peaceful, we will be disturbed. So in other words, it's only certain amount of time peaceful, so we're only noticing the Adibhautik and Adidaivik. But if it's always peaceful, then we'll start to notice the Adiatmik. You know, so that it's actually us that's creating the disturbance. Because the other living entities, that if you're not disturbed, they don't disturb you. Yeah, so that's what we're trying to point out, is that religion is for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. Right? Because otherwise, that same discussion, then you can say, because it's not about that, it's not, so it could be anything. But then the problem is how do you, yes, it could be anything, but how do you define or choose what anything that you would work with? So since it doesn't matter, it's about being Krishna conscious, about pleasing Krishna. And since the secondary actually isn't the important element, it's the primary. So therefore, since it's about pleasing Krishna, what secondary would I choose? Right, right. What is recommended by those who know how to please Krishna? Because I don't know how to please Krishna. Right? We don't know like this. So that's why the thing is we follow what they do. But then we say it doesn't matter, therefore I'll do what I want to do. Then that's going away from Brahma Buddha, because then you're increasing your identity, increasing your involvement. Right? Rather than you're doing your best to follow what's there, and then yes, of course, because it's a material world, everything does go upside down. Like that, yes.
It's interesting that one of the sutras of Karl Marx is that environment defines consciousness. And it's very strongly imprinted in, you know, many people's minds.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like that. It means it has an effect. So that's why we associate with those who are more advanced. That's why we chant the holy name. So then we change the environment to spiritual. Then we're affected by that. So it brings down to that the living entity is what's affected by environment. Krishna is not. Right? He is environment. Right? So, but we being jivas, and being energy, then we're affected because we're dependent. So we're dependent on the energy, and the energy is dependent upon Krishna. So if we're involved with the spiritual energy, then we'll gravitate that way. We're involved with the material, we'll gravitate the other way. You know, but we're talking about we're already here, so therefore now it's a matter of we don't have to worry about staying here. That's guaranteed. One can rest peacefully on the point is you can stay here forever if you like, you know. But the point is that we won't be satisfied.
Because we practically see, you know, for neophytes, the first thing we try to do is to change the environment.
Yes. Then that's all right, as long as we're changing it in line with what's recommended by the acharyas. You know, they take down all the pictures and put up pictures of Krishna and, you know, change and adjust things like that. And so that's nice because it's about Krishna. So you can say, yes, it is about that. But the point is what's very important is the material environment then will not satisfy the soul. Only spiritual environment will satisfy the soul. So if we're affected by environment, therefore we have to try to create the spiritual environment. And that's what goes. But what we're meaning here is that once we come to that platform, then we'll notice that all there is spiritual environment. There is no material world. That's also a perception. It means the place there, the location is there, but that is actually material and separate from Krishna. That doesn't exist. That's an illusion. It's actually all connected to Krishna. It's all his energy. It's all working under his laws. So therefore, you can see Krishna everywhere. So does that make sense? So instead of seeing those, you know, stupid little lines with green numbers going down like that, you see Krishna.
But that's an uttam adhikari vision.
So. Yes, but that's the whole point, is that that's the direction we're trying to go.
Because for many of us, even coming to Mayapur, just a change of an environment.
Yes, that's why, because it's the spiritual world. But the material, what we're meaning is, you have the material, no matter how nice you make the material, it won't satisfy the soul. You adjust the material so that one is, as Prabhupada says, comfortable. So that means you're not uncomfortable. It's not luxury. It's a matter of this much you're happy with. It means you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have more than that, then you get carried away. Less than that, it disturbs you. So you get to that point where you don't worry, think about it. That's the level you should work at. So for each soul, that will be different because of their conditioning. Like that. And with time, as you advance, that may change. Or it doesn't have to. But in any case, that's the... So from that, you can say, yes, we're doing that. But here's the there's no lamentation because you're seeing it all in connection with Krishna. So when he says the Brahma Bhuta, we are talking about Uttamadhikari.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the platform we're trying to get to. This is the pure devotional service we're trying to get to. Right? Like, because from there, just like we see in the Shraddha to Prema, then you can say is that because you're taking the neophyte, that's the difficult part. The Madhyama, then that's you know, it's okay. It's neutral, and then it becomes positive. Then it goes into the Uttama. So then you can say within pure devotional service, then the Madhyama is the Kanista of the pure devotees. The on Bhava, the Brahma Bhuta, that's the Madhyama of pure devotees, and then the Prema is the Uttama of pure devotees. So then it's the stable position. So that's the point, is that stableness is what's going to do. So in our practice as conditioned, then Nishta is that stable position. And then within the liberated platform, then that Brahma Bhuta, where we come into Bhava, that's then that stable position. Because they're both considered Anartha Nivriti. This is the, you know, lower one. That one, you could say, is the real one. Right? Because then you don't have a material identity anymore. You may still, the fragrance of I'm the controller and enjoyer is still there. But that will be taken care of. That's what all the pastimes are for. You know, they remove all those, the subtle. Like that. Yes.
So the Brahma Bhuta is the transition between the Shakti and Bhava?
It means it's over. It's in bhava, but it's just that side.
Yeah.
That means, in other words, bhava, the platform, is Brahma-Bhuta, because you're on the spiritual platform then. So there, all the way through to Mahabhav, that's all you can say is the Brahma-Bhuta platform. But when one is having love for Krishna, one generally doesn't, you know, why one's going to be referring to
that.
Yeah.
The lesser qualities.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, okay, you walk into the ballroom and it's empty, then you notice the floor.
Yes.
Right? But once it's full and people are interacting, you know who's looking at the floor.
If you start talking about it, you're weird.
Yeah, you know. Unless everybody's sliding on it or something, then that's another thing, you know. You know, but so the whole point is Brahma-Bhuta, that's why we say, that's where we make the distinction between spiritual and transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
Means anything that's that side of a sakya, that's all spiritual, because it's not material. In other words, if we're defining spiritual as non-material, then it's all that. But there's beyond non-material, in that it's actually transcendentally interactive with the Lord. Then that's that is the point, because that's why it's, you can come up from the conditioned state into the uttama state, but until you get to prema, that's not. You could say it's stable, but at the same time one can still fall from there. Just like from madhyama you can fall. Why? You can fall from there. But once you get to prema, then you won't fall. Because there is no, it's all about Krishna, the affections for Krishna. So it's just, you see everything in relationship to expressing that love for Krishna. Right? Mother Jashoda will see it all in relation to that. She doesn't see something else. Right? So that's what we're trying to get to. So that's why it's a detail of what particular mode you express that. So your basis of that within spiritual will be, Is it in majesty or in sweetness? Then within that, then you have the five rasas. Right? Does that make sense? And so that accordingly will situate you. Right? And then just more and more detail as it goes. Yes?
About the kings. For example, Yayati.
Yes.
If we take him, can we categorize him somewhere about what we spoke? Would he be on the
Brahma-Bhuta? No, because if you're on the Brahma-Bhuta, there's no material desires to fulfill.
Okay.
Right? So, on one sense, you could say, means on one way of looking at it, you could say he's on that platform of the third stage of Anartha Nivriti, where you see what should be done, and you can do, you know, renunciation is what you're trying, but you can also connect all these things to Krishna. You could say he's in that kind of a place. You know, because we see it's more prominent about the desires rather than it's just, that's a natural place to be. Right? But it's all about the Lord. They're trying to get to that position of the Lord. Then by applying that position, following the rules and regulations very, very carefully, then, and engaging the senses, then you can actually see that there's nothing to gain there. There's no satisfaction in it. Right? Because you do it for a while, then you see, just like you're saying, you have a peaceful environment. But then you'll see with time, even peace is not satisfying. Because peace is just nothingness. And so it's the positiveness of Krishna consciousness and all that. That's the real point. So one will say, no, but when things are peaceful, then it's nice. No, when you're Krishna conscious, it's nice. If it's just peaceful and you're not Krishna conscious, it's not nice either. Yeah. So you understand? So with time, one will see that difference. But the point is in the beginning, we engage that. So is it an attachment to karma or to jnana? Right? So is it attachment to attachment or attachment to detachment? Whichever it is, it doesn't matter, because then you arrange that situation and be Krishna conscious. But if you follow that religious process and are not Krishna conscious, that's then what's said, then that's useless. You know, so much endeavor and you don't get Krishna, it's a waste of time. So that's why then in doing this, we're practicing all these varieties of recommended religion. Otherwise, if we don't follow the recommended, then if you follow unrecommended, then is it still within Shastra? It means it's recommended for somebody, but not for us as Gaudiyas and as Vaishnavas. like this. So then, you know, is it still within the Vedic? Because then it'll have that progressive that you can still bring it up. But if it's outside of that, then that means someone made it up. Because there's Vedic religion, and then there's made-up religion. Right? Everything else is made up. If it's not Vedic, if it's not, it's made up. You know, you decide how you do this and that and so many things. And you know what I'm saying? Naturally, because the soul is there, there's something left over. It all eventually goes back to some connection to religion, but people nowadays don't make that connection. So it's made up. That's why when the question before was, so what do we choose if it doesn't matter? We choose the religions that are recommended. But we know that the most important of all these religions is the one of full surrender to Krishna. That's the one we're trying for. Because the others only have a value if they're connected there. But when we put more emphasis on that, that means we're at a lower stage. When we put more emphasis on the pure devotion, that means we're advancing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So either way, it doesn't matter. Because just as someone's attached to attachment, someone else is attached to detachment. They're both attachments, but the one means you're less involved with the material world in the way of, you know, environment. There's less environment, you know, because an empty environment is a, you know, I see, an empty environment is a good environment, yes. You know, while the other one is the more stuff you have in the environment, the better it gets, you know, so.
How he made it up to 10 to 9?
Because here is that, but what happens here? What is he explaining here? Who's talking here? It says Srila Sukadeva Goswami continuing. But from what I understand, this is Yayati speaking. So Sukadeva Goswami is continuing with Yayati's discussion. Right? So that, and so what is he discussing? So what does this mean? Now he's come over to the point of that war with Maya and has moved on. So that means now he's come to the Nishta platform.
So it's progressing.
Yes, it's progressing. So you see that. So because otherwise before we accepted it, but this is the extreme to which we're dealing with. Because otherwise, as soon as we see anybody engaging their senses, oh, that's not devotional. They're not advanced. Hmm. But that's why it's in ninth canto, so that we can get over that one. Like that. Not saying, oh, see, you can do anything. You can go. And no, that's you know, before Bhagavad Gita. that's the book next to Bhagavad Gita in this, in the bookshop. You know.
Bhagavad Gita has
icy. Yeah.
One book.
As I wish it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so.
Prabhupada wanted us to have our own committees.
Yes. That's there, but.
Everybody just makes their own comments.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be in line with the. So that's the things we have to be very careful about. Yes.
When we chant a japa in the morning, which is in the
morning.
When we chant?
Chant our
japa.
Oh, japa. Yeah. I heard when we chant labunga in the morning. I was thinking, labunga, okay.
So chanting in the morning. Chanting in the morning. Yeah, chanting in the morning, mode of goodness, passion, and then ignorance. You know? So we find.
No, chanting is chanting. It's just, but the day is, yeah, in the, may have those points.
Yeah, it has. And that definitely affects us. You know. So we come to know what is the quality of chanting in the three modes. So like it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What's
and
the,
also,
so what's the point?
Yeah, the point is that.
What is the pratigya here?
Huh?
Yes. Yeah. That's a, that's, you're starting with the Udaharana.
Yeah. But definitely, I'm saying that the consciousness is affected, you know, by the modes.
Yes, as long as we go with the modes. But the whole point is why chanting in the morning will be better. One is because the mode of goodness, the clarity, and because the whole day hasn't started where there's things, it's dark, so there's nothing to look at to get excited about, right? But once you've chanted in the morning, then if you want to chant any other time of the day, it's easy. You get the same effect. But if you don't chant in the morning and you only start chanting later in the day, then you'll find it's more difficult. So that's why these recommended processes, they allow us to overcome the effects of the modes of nature.
Yeah, okay. Because as you said, you know, about that the environment should not affect the consciousness. If consciousness is topmost and not the environment, then the thing is that Vedas should not recommend that, you know, this is a particular time when a particular activity, spiritual activity.
No, but how many people are on that top level of consciousness? See, it's like this. Someone who's on the top level of consciousness, right? When they get up first thing in the morning, what would they want to do?
Do a snan and then they...
But they would think about Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? So they'd hear and chant about Krishna. So that's why it's recommended that you hear and chant about Krishna at that time, because that's what the great personalities do. Right? But because we don't do anything unless there's a carrot or a stick in front of it, therefore we, you know, it's that you do this and then that's so good and so pious and that'll elevate and that will remove this and that and so many things like that. Or if you don't do this, then there's this nice little place over here that the whole planet's made out of copper and there's a sun, big sun on top and there's a fire on the bottom. And it's really, really hot, you know. And there's a guy on the side. He's red. He's got horns. He's got a pointy tail and a pitchfork. And he laughs. But that's not the real problem. It's all this. His friends, they're the real problem. You know, the little guys with the funny hair and the dogs. Okay? So that's the meaning of vaidhi, is we're doing it because this is good, that's not good. But the real reason is this is what those who are devotees, that's what they do. Right? It's not that, you know, the time has come in the morning, the Brahma Muhurta, the time has come, and then, you know, some of the gopis get up because they have to, and, you know, last night they were really planning on sleeping in, but then Lalita told them, hey, you got to wake up the divine couple and all that, and oh my God, okay, you know, so, and then they drag their feet through there, and, you know, that's where the thing of painting the toenails comes from, right, is because when they go there to wake up the divine couple, they drag their feet and it rubs it off and it makes your toenails look bad. So by painting them, then you remove that thing and no one knows that, you know, you were a schlep and didn't want to do that. Right? And so then you go in, you do all these things, and then all the other, you know, gopis, some of them show up because it's a good thing to show up and you want to be there and you don't want to get harassed by Lalita Devi later. And that, and then, you know, but, you know, and others, then they sleep in and all that, you know, because they just are waiting for that last second when they have to get back home before, like that. In fact, some of them, just to avoid that, like that, after the Rasa dance, instead of hanging around and all that, and putting, they just went back to their house and went back to bed so they could sleep in all the way till 6. Right?
That's our scenario.
Yeah, this is the, how you say, I'm not sure, but, you know. Who do we say, like in the book, who's taken like as a very mundane character? Some
Bhagavatam?
Yeah, Bhagavatam or just Prachina
Varisha.
Huh?
Prachina
Barhishat. So would this be the Prachina Barhishat Leelamrita or something? Right? Yeah, so... No, it's because as soon as the divine couple's up, they want to be there. And in fact, if they could do some service before that, which is limited, then they would do it. And then those who can't, they're there preparing other things so that when then the divine couple gets up and then the devotees can see them, they all want to be there first thing to see. Just like the cowherd boys, they get up early so they can go and see Krishna as soon as he's out of bed and comes down to the Goshala. Right, it's not that Krishna goes to the Goshala and all the cows are asleep and he has to go nudge them and stuff. They're all awake and all right there. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is this is what those who are on that platform of consciousness do. That's the natural thing. That's what all the devotees do in the spiritual world. Right? So we don't know how to act like that, but we want to become like that. So therefore, then Pancharatra makes it a rule, be up at this time of the morning, because that's what the great persons do. We say, oh, that's Vedic and all that, and that's not practical, and we're not like that, and, you know, our lifestyle is different, and we're different, and all this kind of jazz. And so you want to remain different. Different is what we already are. Do we want to remain that way, or we want to go back to Godhead? So if we want to go back to Godhead, then we quit coming up all these stupid excuses and just accept that the Vedic and the Pancharatric lifestyle, these are the lifestyle that they live in the spiritual world. And we're following as Vaidhi because we would rather be doing something else. We would rather be staying up all night and then sleeping all day. Right? But since, you know, we never hear of, you know, possums and all raccoons and that in the spiritual world. Therefore, then it's slightly different. Right? Or is it what is day for the introspective sage is night for the, you know, gross materialist? Right? Right. So the thing is we're in the gross materialist category. We're trying to adjust. So what we say is night, what we say is day is actually night. What we say is night is actually day. That's the problem. So that's why we complain. But the point is it's not about, it's about if we're going to take, even we want to take, yes, we're affected by environment. So what environment do we want to be affected by? Right? So the thing is therefore we can choose the environment. Right? But more important, we can choose how we're affected by the environment. So do we want to be Krishna conscious? Right? The gopis were out dancing with Balaram, and I think as Shankachuda thought this was a really great opportunity to collect a few good girls to go out on the town. Right? When you show up alone at the nightclub, you know, you may or may not get in. You show up with a whole bunch of girls, you get in. So, you understand? So we have to adjust the consciousness, not I'm affected by these things, and when I make it nice, then I'm more Krishna conscious. Therefore, the environment's more important. No, it's the Krishna consciousness is more important. The secondary is simply how to express the primary. So, why would we be adjusting the environment according to Shastra unless it's to be Krishna conscious? So the Krishna consciousness is the main. That environment is simply to support. But if we're not careful, then we make the secondary as more important. And without this, there can't be Krishna conscious. So our environment creates Krishna consciousness. No. But if we're aware, the environment allows us to be aware of Krishna conscious. And even that is only because we're doing what's recommended. So if you do what's not recommended, that won't make us Krishna conscious, because it's not what we're doing will make us Krishna conscious. It's Krishna's blessings that you're doing what is recommended by the devotees. That will make you Krishna conscious. So if we oppose that and make up our own religion and then claim it's the same, then the reason we can't see that it's not is because Krishna doesn't reveal. And so in ignorance, people go on with great confidence that their made-up religion is perfect. But here it mentions perfection as something else.
Well, we see you have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master.
Yes, yes. Like that. And spiritual master should be in parampara saying what, you know, like the postman, not putting anything in, not taking anything out.
In the mood of the acharyas.
Yeah, in the mood, yeah. Like that. So then that works. That's then you're connected with the chit potency. It has power. Yes.
All right, so you explained Vaidhi, Raganuk, but what's the main difference between Bhav Sadhana and Raganuga Sadhana?
It's the same thing. Because Raganuga means you're doing what you want. Raganuga, because you're following in the footsteps of those who have prema. So if you want to make a distinction, then you can say they are Ragatmika.
Right.
So you are Raganuga. So Bhava means Raganuga.
Yeah.
Right? But it can be practiced in the conditioned state down to nishta. So from nishta one can practice that if it comes up naturally. It's a matter because it's a natural thing. So if it's either it will come up, you know, sometime in nishta, ruchi or sakti, or if not, it's still functioning on vaidhi. When you get to bhava, brahma bhuta, then automatically it will switch into rag.
I just wonder why is it defined separately, like Bhav Sadhana, what that?
Because that's so that you understand, because we're saying Vaidhi Sadhana, Raganuga Sadhana. It's a mood, and Bhav's like that. Just like you have in the Vaidhi Sadhana, you have all the different activities that are being done. So then, Vaidhi means you're doing it because that's what should be done. Rag means you're doing it because that's what you'd like to do.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Now within, so, but you may be still in the stages of Nishta, Ruchi, and Asakti, right? So Bhav Sadhana simply means is those five stages within Bhava, within Raga Nuga, to bring you to Prema. So that would be the Shravana Dasa, Varna Dasa, like this, like that. That's what it means. So otherwise we just say Bhava, it means all that.
So it could be practiced before, but at least
it'll begin when you get to you know, that level of Shravana Dasa.
Hmm.
Like that. Because otherwise Shravana Dasa is what got you into, gave you Shraddha.
Yeah.
Because you heard about it, you identified, I'm servant of Krishna. Like that. But then it will continue there, is that then I am servant of Krishna like these devotees who are serving Krishna.
So from general to specific.
Yeah. From general, just meaning Vaishnav, to specific group of Vaishnavs, to then specific within that group.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
My understanding of coming to Nishti is in your performance of Vajrayana Kriya, trying to give up offenses. Is that how you come to Nishti?
Yes. Yeah, I think that means you have some effect. You're determined to be, you know, in devotional, you know, is stable in your devotional service. So whatever is favorable, you're determined to do that. What's unfavorable, you're determined to leave, like that. Does that make sense? But it's not that there's not going to be something going through. But the taste or interest in material desire basically goes in ruchi. Like that. So nishta, there may be still something there. So that's why technically you could say nishta, you're dealing with war with maya, then, you know, and being, you know, unstable but within devotional service. You're steady in devotional service, but the activities you want to perform may not be so stable. Then the third stage is then when you are stable, the benefit is there of it's stable because it's an action, it gives a reaction, so facilities are there. You're getting distracted by the niceness of those facilities. So that will all have to go for ruchi. But when ruchi comes up, then one loses an interest in these things because the taste in chanting the Lord's name is much greater than anything that the material energy can offer.
So it means it's a matter of time. It takes time to go through the stages.
Yes, it's time. But it doesn't have to take basically any time, but it takes time. So for each individual, it may be different how much time it's taking.
According to how
yes, the focus and all that. We see Maharaj Katvanga, then it's a moment. So it can be that short. Or it be longer, like Krishna says in the Gita. The first option is just surrender to Krishna and take up, you know, pure devotional service. That's your first option. If you can't do that, then take up sadhana, bhakti. Does that make sense? Like that. And then he just brings it down. So.
This is Shukadeva Goswami who is speaking, you know. It is not Yayati.
It is Shukadeva Goswami. You checked.
Yes, I've checked.
No, but it's Shukadeva Goswami.
Speaking on behalf of Yayati.
Yes.
Goswami never says Yayati Uchu. It says Shuka Uvachi.
Yes, yeah. But the point is it's Yayati is, the point is in this verse, does it say Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, or we put that there so we know who's talking?
No, we have put it because it says Shukadeva Goswami continued in the Bhagavatam.
But actually, Maharaja Yayati speaks.
Yes, it's Maharaja Yayati speaking. But the point is what we're meaning is Sukadeva Goswami is describing what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it's going through, and because we're putting in different purports than that, we've broken this here.
Mm.
But if this was unbroken, then would this Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued be there? In other words, in the BBT Bhagavatam, is it there? This particular one right here?
No.
No. So that's what we're saying, is that the discussion is just whether you just Srila Sukadeva is it, but it's he's describing the Yayati's discussion. And just to make that more clear, then that's why it's there. That was the discussion. But otherwise, you know, like this, then we know also. Or we can not put either, and no one gets confused, and then we just get confused about who's speaking.
We follow the context, and it's obvious.
Yes, like that, so.
I thought not to change the original, hence I put Shukdev, which was originally in it's
not. Yes, but what we're meaning is it's we're putting it there, so they were saying, since we're putting that, yes, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating it, but technically we could say Sutta Goswami is narrating, but technically we could say that Vyasadeva is narrating it, but technically we could say is that actually before that Vaishampayana was, no, he was not. Now who spoke it first? Yes, and like that, and so then we can get back, and then Vyasadeva writing down what does that, then it goes like this, and so then we could take up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then,
sorry? The first verse is said, Sukadeva Goswami said.
Yeah, and then after that it's not. So if it'll make it any clearer, then just don't put any of these. Leave them all out, and everybody will be happy.
Speaks.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Okay. But when one is unaffected by such material actions and reactions, he is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. Because the material desires, they're coming up from the modes of nature, so the modes of nature will control our environment. That way we become victimized. Okay? The symptoms of those who are satiated with lusty desires are described in this verse. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when one is not envious even of his enemy, does not expect honor from anyone, but instead desires all well-being even for his enemy, he is understood to be a Paramahamsa, one who has fully subdued the lusty desires for sense gratification. So, how much that we can, this is one way to tell, is how we're advancing, is by how much we're not envious of others, how much we're not expecting honor. That's why then the verse is, being humble, being tolerant, then respecting others, not looking for respect. Right? And then, in that way, we can be absorbed in the holy name. Right? So that's those four, that verse is the essence of all, you could say, all etiquette. You know, all character, all qualities, all these kind of things, you know, that are used in Krishna consciousness.
So you use the example of Prahlad Maharaj, how he naturally has these qualities,
yes,
because he is.
Yes, Prahlad, because he's not envious of, even though his father's great, he's not, has no problem.
Just, we go the other way.
Yes. Yeah, we think because we're a devotee, why is this happening like this and that? But that's the point, is we're in the material world, that's why it's happening. That's the. Right, so that's when one is got. So to that degree, that goes like that. So probably gives many ways to find that. So here he's showing this one, because this is the one generally that'll be more difficult. Other ones we're generally more agreeable with, but as we saw, as soon as this one came up, it's like, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's kind of, you know, like that. But this is also then, because we're seeing everything in connection to Krishna. Therefore, we're not envious of anyone. You know, we just see it's the action reaction of the modes of nature. So it's not actually the living entities. You know, so therefore, how upset can you get with dead matter? But I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like something happens, you know, stupid brick, you know, like that. And like, why is it sitting there on the path? You know, like that. I've seen someone go, they're walking along, there's a 90-degree turn, they only make 45 degrees, fall in the ditch. Then after they crawl out of the ditch, they're walking along, looking intently at their feet, and chastising their feet, you know, stupid foot, you know, the one that got hurt, and then that both of them were involved. It wasn't that only that foot was the one. The one was on the bridge, the other one was gone. No, then he said, stupid feet, stupid foot, stupid feet. Like that, he was walked away. You know, like, okay. Yeah, you know, feet should know better. They're supposed to, your duty is to walk on the path, not fall in the drain.
Right? My duty is to be spaced out.
Yes, yes. Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, for those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. Right, so one must give up unsatisfied desires because they can't be satisfied. You know, it's just like, let's say one has started a business and one's investing in that business, but it's giving no profit. And one keeps putting more and more money into it and it still gives no more profit. Isn't there a time when you just drop the business? Right? And say, cut your losses. You know, that's what you do. So material desires are something that can never be satisfied. So at some point we just say, okay, that's enough. But the point is we're convinced that you can't satisfy them. That's the point of engaging them according to regulation. Because if they're engaged according to regulation, then you can see they can't be satisfied. If they're engaged in a non-regulative way, you can't see that. Because then it's this happened, that happened, oh, it's this situation, that, if we just adjusted this, oh, then it would be perfect. But when it's regulated, doing the right thing at the right time, the right place, with the right paraphernalia, in the right way, right knowledge, everything's right, and it still doesn't satisfy you, then you understand there's something wrong here. Right? And that wrong is material desire. Does that make sense? That's why. So then we say, oh, but why he's following all that's just sense. That's the whole point. He's following it nicely according to the rules. That's why the shastras are given that explain all this. Right? Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. So they just feel good that they're in that environment. Maybe they'll be happy, but, you know, not really good. Yeah. Although, time deteriorates even the body itself, which is the medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of the senses. Therefore, by the practice of bhakti yoga, one should give up his lusty desires, as explained by Sri Yamunacharya. When one is Krishna conscious, he gets more and more happiness by discharging duties for Krishna. Such a person spits on sense gratification, especially that of sexual enjoyment. As an experienced advanced devotee is no longer interested in sex life, the strong desire for sex can be subdued only by advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing. You have to replace one taste with another. So that's why we create the environment, because we're creating environments for sense gratification. So we have to create environments that will be suitable for Krishna consciousness. Not that Krishna consciousness is dependent on that. We're dependent upon that. So that's why I was making the point in the beginning of the class, is that we shouldn't be putting so much emphasis on the environment. We should be putting the emphasis on the Krishna consciousness. But the point is the environments that are recommended, those are the ones that will make us Krishna conscious. Because because we're following what's recommended, Krishna being pleased, that's why it works. It's not the situation itself. So it's a delicate point there. You know. So it has to be appreciated. So therefore, advancement in Krishna consciousness, that's what will give up our desire for sense gratification. Then when we give up the desire for sense gratification, then we're not dependent upon the environment to be Krishna conscious. So as long as we have attachment to the environment, then we make a proper environment in which we can be Krishna conscious. But as soon as we are Krishna conscious, we don't need the environment anymore.
Like, I forget his name, the guy with the bananas who's offering the peels to Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
He already is advanced, so therefore it the environment is not important, so Mahaprabhu will accept the banana peels.
Shridhar Kolavisha.
Huh? Oh, yeah, exactly. Right, so he's offering the banana peels to the Lord, and he's very satisfied.
Yes.
Because he's not attached
it's about
to that.
Because the point is, it's the devotion.
Yes.
And the secondary is to express the devotion. So he's expressing his devotion through banana peels. But that's because he's unaware that he's offering the banana peels. So it's just showing the glory that he's so absorbed in affection that he's not even aware of the situation.
Yes.
And now one could say but then that's not good, you know, he should be aware and all that. Those from Majesty will say that. But if that was the case, then why is the Lord accepting them? Right? Because it's the devotion. Right, while the medium is Majesty. So the forms that they use to express that love will always be, you know, how you say, mechanically perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what they specialize. Of course there'll be more development, some devotees are better, like this and that. So that's always there. So you follow those devotees. So then Lakshmi, Vishvakshena, Garuda, Hanuman, then they're followed because they're the best at this.
So our mistake is we say, oh, see, you can offer anything.
Yes, that's the whole point, is that when you get to this point, then you can take it any way you like. But then there's the way of the path of the Mahajanas.
Yeah.
That's why it's said. Because otherwise, then you're saying, oh, you can do anything. That's another personality, you know, known as the foolish Pujari of Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Ramakrishna.
Yes, but we were, I say, he who we do not
he
say his name.
Who is not mentioned.
Yes, like that. Okay, like that. So, that's the whole point. Got to keep up to date. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the point is that's his philosophy, is any path you take, it all leads, because if it's all one, it's all Krishna, then any direction, anything you do, it's all Krishna. Yes, but that anything and all that is one path, because we're saying there's any path. No, there's only one path. It's just which way you're going on it. He doesn't see that he's going the other way on Krishna's path. Well, the Vaishnavas are going then opposite of him, towards Krishna. He's going away from Krishna. So there's only one path. It's just a matter of what you're doing with that. That there's not a multiplicity of mechanics. There's only one set of mechanics. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way it works. So now, the point is, therefore, who do you want to follow in this singular path? Now, if you follow the Mahajanas, that will get you to Vaikuntha. That'll get you to the spiritual world. And if you follow all these other materialists, that will get you somewhere in the material world. And in Kali Yuga, it's generally going to be a bit lower than where you are now. Like that. And you could probably, you know, how you say? Seeing that the, you know, how you say? All those from, what is it? What's the one just below this one? Atala? Atala, you know, down to Patala. Generally those, there's different degrees of material, mundane, atheistic piety, so they're there. So if you're not following getting actual piety, then your situation will be below that. So, and that's not ideal in anybody's book. You know what I'm saying? Even those who are alternative would probably find the Yamadut is a bit wild. <You know. laughs> But most people wouldn't be looking at them anyway. They'd be looking at the three-headed dog. Yes. That's what they'd be looking at. But, you know.
So we're trying to go the other way.
Yes, so we want to go the other way. Yes? Okay.
Everybody agrees.
So is there any connection between our conditioning and practice with the conditioning, devotional service, and the actual mood? Because some devotees we see, they're very, you know, like formal, they like formal relationship, but some, they're more informal, even this, you know, it's like...
Not means... Point is this, connected to Krishna, that's the advantage, like that. Other things, they may have tools that are useful in Krishna consciousness, but then there may be some other parts that are not. You know, he's a real nice guy, but he may not be very practical. How often do you see a nice guy who's practical?
It happens.
It happens, but I'm saying it's rare. You know what I'm saying? So every conditioning has something that can be engaged in Krishna's service. But it's just a matter of how many layers you might have to peel back. You know, you have to get to the essential point. Some of them, in its the form that it's in, can be used. The person's a gentleman, it can be used in that form. But some other aspects might not be so great. You know, he takes a shower, then he brushes his teeth. That part you may not want to engage in Krishna's service. Yes. Okay. But everyone says Susukadev Goswami. There's no one that does, so we don't know. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Srila Prabhupada elaborates.
He finished about the he and she book?
No, now he's just, you know, giving the philosophy behind it. Because now that you have the context, now he can go on with the... Okay. Learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. As specifically mentioned herewith, such attraction is possible even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. Generally, of course, one is not sexually attracted to his mother, sister, or daughter. But one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. So that's the whole point, is that generally one's not, because so therefore you deal in the etiquettes in this way, and then there's no problem. But it's just saying if you don't follow the etiquettes, then there may be a problem. So that's... Yeah. This is a psychological fact. It may be said that one is liable to be attracted if he is not very advanced in civilized life. However, as specifically mentioned here, vidvamsham api karshati, even if one is highly advanced, materially or spiritual, he may be attracted by lusty desires. The object of attraction may even be one's mother, sister, or daughter. So they're saying this is the extreme thing, to just make sure it's even up to this point. So that means anything before that, then that's going to be quite easy. Okay. Seems to be a group.
Right.
Okay. So the groups are always louder because they all have it.
That's the example.
Sorry?
It's the vivid example of the philosophy.
Mm. Yes.
Young group, mixed gender. Group, young, mixed gender equals loud.
Aha. Okay. Yes. Therefore, one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most strict in such dealings, especially after he accepted the sannyas order. Indeed, no woman could come near him to offer him respect. Again, one is warned herewith that one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. A brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of a spiritual master if she happens to be young. The wife of the spiritual master may sometimes take some services from the disciple of her husband, as she would from a son. But if the wife of the spiritual master is young, a brahmachari is forbidden to render service to her. Right? So she's older and that has that natural position, then it doesn't matter. But if she's young and he's young, then he doesn't render services personally. Does that make sense? Like that. But other things, she, you know, go get wood, do this and that, those kind of things they do. So the main point is that situations connected with the senses, that's what we're very, very careful about. Right? Because the senses, even if we're intelligent, it's not the intelligent that makes the decision, it's the mind. That's why it says, if we're intelligent and all that, or then we can do, but it's the mind that makes the decision. So because of that, then it can get carried away. Now if the mind is attached to Krishna, then it'll never make that problem. Therefore, there is no problem among such people. But if not, then problem.
Brahma and his daughter.
Yes, like that. So that's the idea, is that is that the conditioned soul is attracted by sense gratification, therefore there's an opportunity for sense gratification, the mind can get distracted. That's why then we see that we are careful about these situations. Right? Does that make sense?
Lord Chaitanya was known as the best sannyasi because of him being very strict.
Very strict on all aspects. He's very renounced, he kept very little, you know. He followed his duties. He wouldn't, you know, as we see, he'd bathe three times a day. He only had five pieces of cloth, you know. So that means you're wearing something, and then you bathe. You put on something else that's washed there. You put it down in the bank that dries, and you walk off. You know, so like this. And if you need to wear more, it's colder. You put on all five. You know, so like this. He had that. You know, he'd eat in a certain way. He'd do different things. He'd follow all the rules and regulations. So in this way, he was recognized as the best sannyasi. So even those who don't know Lord Chaitanya, like South India, the Mayavadis in South, they know him as the greatest sannyasi. You know, it's just, you know, he came through there. He had influence like that, so they know him as that. They don't know him as the Lord. They don't know him as a devotee. They don't know him like this, but they know he's the greatest sannyasi. Like that, you know, and they're known for their sannyasis, like that. You know, because down there they only accept someone as, you know, that are in sampradayas. So therefore, they accept him. You know, of sampradayic sannyasis, he's the best. And the other guys, they have to go to North India. South, who cares?
Like, the situation was not a problem for Haridas Thakur because his mind was totally absorbed in
it. Yes, like that. So that's the whole point. You get to that point, but you don't see that he would go as a habit and hang out. We only see two examples of that happening. Right? And that they approached him. It wasn't that he went, he's not like the old man here who's going to the nightclub and paying heavy fees. Because it says heavy fees to drink wine associated with women. Why will it be heavy fees? One is you have to get into the place, but two, you have to buy all the wine for all those women to hang out. Otherwise, if there's no wine, they're not going to. Why would they hang out with the 80-year-old guy? Because he's buying all the drinks, so hey, then they're hanging out. Yeah? Yes?
What if Brahmachari gives an example? With Narada Muni giving shelter to Kariyadu, mother.
That's because, you know, they're transcendental, so they're never going to be affected. I mean, he has a spiritual body, so
if somebody gives this example.
Yeah, that's great. You have an ashram. One, which brahmachari who's quoting that has their own ashram that he maintains, he's in charge of, and everything. That's the first thing. Second thing is if you really want to be technical, that ashram would have to be probably somewhere in the higher planetary systems.
And because he's the Rashi.
Yeah, so like that. So the point is why do you take that? Why don't you take that he flies around with a Veena? You know, I don't see anyone trying that one.
Would love to, but unable to do so.
Yeah, so they would love to be able to hang out with the ladies and not get affected, but they're unable to. So, you know, so they should be practical, right?
Can we say also that a matter of what example you're setting for others?
That's there, but the thing is you have one time in 151 trillion years, you know, give the guy a break. You know, but we're talking about people who will be doing this on a daily basis. So it's different. Because he's giving it, do we hear anything's going on, anything happened? No. But because that's the point, he's giving shelter, but nothing happens. If we give shelter, can we guarantee nothing will happen? If we can, then okay, but we can't. That's why it's avoided.
Also that he gives benediction to her, that in 100 celestial years, Prahlad Maharaj is in the womb.
Yes, that's also a point. She was a pregnant lady, so therefore brahmacharis are going to give shelter to pregnant women in their own ashram, not just, you know, their van or something like that, like that. So then you know, and they can give a benediction that they won't give birth for 100 years, but celestial years, not just around here years. Then, hey, knock yourself out, you know, go for it. Great, you know, we're all rooting for you, you know, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah, better to not you misuse Narad Muni as an, you know, in this way as an example. Because notice we take all those things, but that he was traveling once for 3 days and didn't get any food, so he just drank water. Are we doing that one? No. So that also is an example set by Narad Muni. Like that. He's only always chanting about the Lord, always doing kirtan. Like that, you know, those kind of things. You know, but we'll take the parts we like. Hey, he hangs out with the ladies. Yeah. He's got blonde hair, and it's long.
Totally,
and I'm into it. Hey, you know, I can dig right. This guy. You know,
I like
being
that.
He's a musician.
Yeah.
You know, he hangs out with ladies. I like it. Yeah. You know, like that. That's not. That's
with cherry picking.
That's the point. Is that yes, cherry picking. But what are we picking? We're only picking secondary aspects and not seeing the primary behind it. So if you don't see the primary, you haven't picked anything. That.
To pick their own conditions.
Yes, like that. And the fun part is, Maya's just standing there and handing it to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you go, let's see, I want to get something new, unique, just me and all that. She goes, like that. Here, oh,
this,
wow.
Here, how about this you is, always do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, that's the... Yeah, she's going, yeah, right. Take it. Where has this been my whole life?
Yeah.
Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, I have spent a full 1,000 years enjoying sense gratification, yet my desire to enjoy such pleasure increases daily.
Promising.
Yes. Verses 19 to 29, King Yayati accepts sannyas. Srila Sukadeva.
Footnote.
Oh. So it's not 18th to the 26th. I am an example showing that even time does not rid a person of attachment to enjoyment. Sardartha Darshani. So that's it. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Therefore, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because he's tried them for 1,000 years, and still he's not getting it. And Mahabharata, you know, very specifically says he followed all the rules properly, didn't break any rules of Dharma. You know, so all of his engagement of the senses was all according to how the Shastra says one should do. You know, what are the times, the situations, all the different things like that. And still, now that he does that, then his desire to enjoy simply keeps increasing. It doesn't go away. Therefore, now he says, therefore, now I shall give up all these desires. That's his point, is that just as you pour ghee on the fire, it won't, so therefore, you can't in any way get rid of it, so now I'll just give it up. And meditate on the Lord, because that's the only way you can give it up. Yes.
He makes
action sankalpa.
Yes.
It also sounds like I'm the doer. Okay, from today, like we all start new lives.
No, but you have, but it still, it starts with desire. That's what the living entity can do. But the ability that you can do that and therefore meditate on the Lord and give up all desires, that comes from the Lord. But it is, we are people. Right? So, you know, we can't take, oh, here it appears we're the doer. No, but we have to create the situations. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's so the point. A desire comes, the desire is there. So from that, that's why, since we're going to make the endeavor, if it's according to following the footsteps of the great personalities, then based on them, we're serving them in this endeavor. That's why it has the potency and moves forward. But if it's just we do as we like, you know, following the footsteps of the, you know, the great Gatsby or something, then we got a problem. Because I don't think it worked out for him either.
Not at all.
It did. Yes. So, yes. We're taking the, how you say, the testimony of the optas who have have the experience, so then they can explain.
So we don't have to do it ourselves.
Yes. Okay, free from the dualities of mental concoction and free from false prestige, I shall wander in the forest with the animals. Like that. Giving up the lifestyle of a goat. But he'll walk there as a human, not as an... He's been in human society as an animal, now we'll go into animal society as a human.
Now go as a goat.
No, but then you need the she-goat, and then the whole discussion doesn't mean anything. Huh? Yes, yeah, so it means he's therefore determined to give up these desires, meditate on the Lord, free from the dualities of mental concoction, right? Because mental concoction means, oh, but this will make me good. Oh, that one, oh, this one didn't work, so I'll do the opposite. You know, all those kinds of things. So, and free from false prestige, that I'm special because I have all these mental concoctions and I have all these material desires. Like that. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.